Praise the Lord. Good to be with you all today. It's a wonderful day. I love to read these lessons that we've read today because it talks about God's sufficiency in our lives. And I also like to read them because some of us believe that the manna of the Old Testament was really white chocolate. Now I know that's hard to believe. But if you also follow the logic there, because the manna comes before the quail, you'll get the idea that it's okay to eat dessert before the main course. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We have a scene, and fascinatingly, the people are coming to see Jesus at this time of Passover rather than making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to do the normal activities of Jerusalem. And I think so John is framing this encounter with Jesus for us in that way. Jesus will himself become the Passover. He'll become the substitute for the Passover. He will represent what the Passover has represented, a liberation from oppression. Jesus will become a liberation from sin for us. And so John is careful to paint that this miracle, this sign, in that way. So that's extremely important for us to see this morning. Jesus does this in Israel. This is the feeding of the multitude. In Israel, it's recorded in all the Gospels. So we should probably take note. there will be another feeding miracle. John doesn't mention that one, but the Gospels do. That feeding miracle will be on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It'll be for Gentiles. And so Jesus not only feeds his people, but he feeds all peoples. And fulfills God's promises to us in that way. Philip and Andrew are in this passage today. They're not quite sure what to do. Let's take a look. Lifting up his eyes, seeing that a large crowd was coming toward them, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Now, Philip has already put his trust in the Lord Jesus. He goes to Nathanael early on and says, come and meet the one who Moses talked about. So Philip has a good idea of who Jesus is. He's just not sure when he's put to the test right now what's going to happen. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. This is a huge crowd, Jesus. Why are you picking on me? Now, Jesus knows what he would like to do. And so maybe he's putting Philip in a difficult place, but we need to remember that God tests his people. He doesn't tempt his people, but he tests us to see where our faith really is. Is our faith in denarii? Is our faith being able to try to come up with the answer to this question all by ourselves? Where will we put our faith? Where will we put our trust? Where should we put our trust?
In Jesus.
In the Lord. In God. Now, it's going to be hard because our camera dude has got to follow me around. And because I'm Hispanic, I like to move around and do stuff. So I'll try to be careful about that this morning. The Lord is calling us to put our faith in Him. Not in these other things. It probably would have been better for Philip to say, Lord, you know, or you, Lord, are able to provide. But Philip, like ourselves, says, oh no, the Lord wants me to do something here. I better come up with something. And what Philip really needs to do is just trust in the Lord. Lord, you know. Lord, you can provide. Can the Lord provide? Yes. Okay. And so Philip may be an American here, for all I know. He may have been told all his life, well, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, dude. You can do it. But we know that we can't do it. Amen? But the Lord is ready to be with us, to help us, to strengthen us, to support us, if we'll trust in Him. And that's what He's calling Philip to do right now. The Lord knows what He wants to do. Then we have Andrew. Andrew is there too. How does he see this? One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Look at this huge group of people. And you want us to do something, Lord? Our resources are too few. Our resources are just too few. Should we rethink this, Lord, at this point? Now, Philip and Andrew are concentrating on the material, the physical, what they see. I mean, that's what we're taught to do. But God is so much greater than that. And God's desire is that we have abundant life. Amen? And that abundant life is not necessarily material. But He knows our needs. He knows whereof we are made. And He knows who we are. And once again, trust. And faith comes in here at this point. We need to be putting our trust and faith in the Lord. And so Jesus says, well, have the people sit down. And in John's recounting of this sign event in Jesus' life, that's all the disciples do. They just have the people sit down, and then Jesus goes to work. Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. Jesus gave thanks. The verb there is eucharisteo, okay, which we'll use as Eucharist. So He gave thanks. And I think John may be signaling something important there, because later on, at the Last Supper, He doesn't give us an account of the supper itself. But here, He mentions that important word, giving thanks, Eucharist. So I think John is signaling us something important is going on here. And the loaves and the fishes are multiplied, and everybody eats a fill. Now there's 12 baskets hanging around. Does that mean that everybody, when they sat down, they started to get out their picnic and start sharing it with everybody and stuff like that? That's not what John says, because John says, this is a sign. This is a sign. So those loaves and those fishes were multiplied for the whole group. This is a sign. And that's what the people understand as well, right? Whoa, did you see that? This is great. This is great. He must be the one that Moses talked about. He must be the one. Beware those who come promising bread and fishes. Beware. And so they do. They gather up leftover fragments that nothing would be lost. And they filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this indeed the prophet, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. And so Jesus makes a sign in fulfillment of things that had happened in the past. God had given manna in the wilderness. People related that to Moses and knew that God would do that again when Messiah had come. God has done this. God had also done it through Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 4. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And Elijah said, give to the men that they may eat. But his servant said, how can I set this before 100 men? So he repeated, give them to the men that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left. So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. And so this is a prophetic witness that Jesus gives today. Moses in the wilderness, Elijah later. Jesus is acting as a prophet. But this is still not enough for the people, because now the people want to take Jesus king. And that verse we didn't read today, but perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So even though the people begin to understand who Jesus might be, they're mistaken. They're mistaken. Because they do not know what God has for Jesus. They don't understand what the anointed of God must do. Once again, they're focused on the present and the now, which a lot of times we focus on too much. Amen? And so they go off and say, oh, wow, this would be great if Jesus was mayor of Jerusalem or some such thing. Jesus was our king, we would get rid of these Romans. But the issue for Jesus is there's something greater that needs to be taken care of. There's a greater need to be met here than just lunch. And Jesus is here to meet that need. What is the greater need? Well, it sure would be good if the Republicans could figure out who the devil is going to be running. I mean, that's a need, right? I mean, it sure would be good if we could get it together and figure out how to squash ISIS. All at once. That would be good. But the real threat to us here today is not those things that do make us anxious. The real threat to us is whether we will obey the Lord or not. Will we trust in God's abundance? Will we trust in His sovereignty over all these things? Will we take Him at His word? Will we obey Him as He speaks to us? Or will we put that off another day? Or kick it down the street. Jesus is not going to do that. He's going to show forth God's abundance, God's graciousness today. This day is the fourth Sunday in Lent. It is kind of a little past the midpoint in Lent. It is a day when we kind of take a breather and we realize the abundance that God has and His willingness to share with us. But our need is to trust in Him and to live into Him, to trust His faithfulness and to trust His sovereignty, to trust His love for us. He will share Jesus with us today, again, once again, so that we can be strengthened to do what He calls us to do. But the threat, the real threat, the spiritual threat, is will we believe Him? Will we trust Him? Will we obey Him? That's a toughie. Jesus has already had he's had a couple signs by now in the Gospel of John. You remember the wedding of Cana. Praise the Lord. It was obviously an Anglican wedding. They ran out of wine. All right. But once again, we see God's graciousness there, God's abundant love toward us, toward that family, toward that celebration that day. As gallons upon gallons upon gallons of wine are made. Because God is here now, and He is visiting us in Jesus. And He is here today and speaking to us through His Word. and sharing his life with us from the table. His body, his blood, that we might be strengthened to do those things that he's calling us to do. And so the threat and the threats that we see are secondary to the threat that we have in here and the question of whether we will obey the Lord in the things that he's asking us to do. Amen? Okay. God is calling each of us to rejoice. Rejoice. Lent is almost over. The Passover is drawing nigh. And God will do a work that we could have not ever believed. But he calls us today to put our trust in him, to be faithful to him, and to respond when he calls us, Lord, you know. Lord, you are able to provide. Be it so unto us. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.